Welcome to Good Enough-ish. I'm Brooke Forey.
And I'm Amanda Jefferson.
We are two organization-loving friends sharing tips, strategies, real-life experiences, and fails of trying to be good enough-ish at everything we juggle in life.
I own Indigo Organizing. I help busy people simplify their lives at home and at work.
I co-own Curious & Company Creative, a branding design firm, and I created the Balance Bound Planner that helps you get organized and prioritize self-care.
You can find us on Instagram at goodenough.ish, and you can find the show notes over at goodenoughish.com.
If you have questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, email us at goodenoughishpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 484-440-9498.
So let's start the show.
Let's do it. Hi, Amanda.
Hi there.
How's it going?
It's good. We're kind of loopy today.
You know, it happens a lot. I'm particularly loopy and just feeling kind of like I'm at the club because something called Boosterthon is happening at my kids' school today, and their school is like a block and a half away.
Yeah.
And Boosterthon is happening outside, and it's like a dance party.
Wow.
It's been a dance party since 8:30 this morning, blasting all the hits of our time. And
all the hits of our time?
Our time, their time,
their time, all the times.
Yeah, okay. Started with a little bit of Beatles this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got it all. We've got Taylor Swift. We've got every hour I hear the Star Spangled Banner, because I guess each time a new grade level comes out,
right,
they start the whole ceremony thing over again. It's super adorable.
Oh.
But yeah, I'm just like in here all day. Yeah.
So is that kind of like field day, or field day is going to be a different day?
Field day is a different day.
Yeah,
also,
yeah, yeah.
We'll be bumping.
Right.
Boosterthon is like the thing they do to raise money. And then the actual thing is like, it's like a fun run, or you can dance, or you can do this on the field. It's just to get the kids to, you know,
that's
bug
fun.
Their grandparents.
I used to love days like
and
that.
Uncle to get money. Yeah. Paige was very excited. Graham was like,
cool.
Yeah.
That's, whatever. That's,
whatever.
You swear that I can hear this music because you can hear it so loudly, but I hear nothing.
I'm shocked that you can't hear it. But if anyone does hear a little bit of club music in the background, that's why.
Brooke is clubbing.
Yeah.
Over
yeah,
in media.
What's going on over there?
You know, things are good. It's such a beautiful day. I've got like spring. I've got a spring in my step.
Same. Because this weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this is my perfect window. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the 60s, low 70s, windows open. There's such a small window of time in our climate that we can have our windows open when it's not either really cold or really hot and humid. So this, we're in that small window, and I'm gardening.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. Getting my, just getting my hands, getting in there.
Get your hands in that dirt.
Yeah.
Yesterday I did get up to 80 and I was like, whoa.
No.
Slow your roll, weather. Today is going to be a little lighter, cooler. And I'm going to the Phillies game tonight, and it's like 100% chance of sun. I'm very much looking forward to it. It is like, now they better win, but it's going to be a great night for a game.
Oh my God. Everybody's going to be so excited because it's like the start of the season. And I know I'm a sweater these days. I'm a sweater. It's sweat. So it's funny because
always sweater weather.
Summer is sweater weather for me because I sweat. I think it's a being in my 40s thing, maybe like a medication adjustment I need to make or something.
It's a perimenopause.
It is.
Sorry.
It is.
Welcome.
I know. My bestie in Spain this week like kind of broke the news to me. She was like, honey, this is what's happening. You're in perimenopause, and these are, and I was like, and I told her, I was like, can you be my Google? Because I don't have time for this. Can you please explain to me what I should be experiencing? So she's walking me through this process. But yeah, I'm a bit of a sweater. I think I'm going to, you know, that neck fan you have for like baseball games?
Do I ever? Yep.
I think I'm just going to walk around with it.
Great.
Yeah.
It's rechargeable.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that when the battery runs out, all of a sudden you're like, oh, quiet. Because you just hear a constant hum in your ear all day from this little fan. And then when it turns off, you're like, oh, right.
Right.
Don't need a constant buzzing in my ear. But yeah, Paige asked me to break it out recently for like the one mildly warm day. She's like, I might need the neck fan for tonight's, for like one of Graham's baseball games. I was like, I think we're taking that a little far. But yeah, I'm excited. It's going to rain again later in the week, but you know. Gonna soak this up while I can.
Yes. So we have been connecting this week. Some texts have been flying back and forth because there have been Bluey episodes that have been released.
When I tell you that I was a blubbering, sobbing mess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And Paige looked at me and was like, what is happening? And then I looked at Nick. And he was picking up what I was putting down. He was like, he was not quite tearing up, but he definitely understood where I was coming from. Yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster,
and it was a long one. You know, normally the Blueys are like 9 minutes. This one was 28. They really needed the time to develop the story. I was so excited that – so we had a lot of catching up to do because there were like 8 of the new episodes that we had to watch because Isabel is, you know, she's like solidly in Tweenville now. And so we were in our post-Bluey era. But I was like, listen, Brooke is telling me that we've got cliffhangers coming. We're leaving a lot on the table here. Like, we've got to get back in the game. Was like, yes. And once we got back in it, she was in it to win it. And then, you know,
yeah, we don't want to give any spoilers. Nope. But just watch it. Just watch it. We also got a lovely voicemail from a listener in Australia. I was like, we are international.
We're internationally known.
Internationally known. Can we play this voicemail? Because it ties into the whole Bluey thing, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like in Australia, I'm going to have to walk around with like a hat and sunglasses now just to disguise myself because of the fame. Because
you go there often?
Right.
You jaunting off to Australia?
So now because of the fame, when I am in Australia, I will need to disguise.
So much fame.
Okay, let's play it.
Good morning, Brooke and Amanda from beautiful Brisbane, Australia, home of Bluey. I had a pause the pod moment this morning when you were talking about nonpareils, hundreds and thousands. I had to Google to make sure we were talking about the same thing. Hundreds and thousands, the little colourful things, are a key ingredient in fairy bread. I'm sure there must have been a Bluey episode about fairy bread. A very, very Australian kids' party delicacy. It's white bread, butter, hundreds and thousands, cut up into 4 small triangles. Delicious. I just also wanted to say I really loved the episode with Brooke and Paige and Bluey. We are so proud of Bluey here in Brisbane. We love seeing our beautiful city and beautiful people or dogs going out into the world and being so beloved by everyone. Brisbane's proudest export. I love your show. Love listening here down under every week. Keep up the great work, ladies. Bye.
I mean, speaking of tearing up.
I mean, no offense to all the other people who have left voicemails, but this was the best one.
I know. My neighbor is from Australia, and I'll go out of my way to be like, hey, Sammy, how you doing? Just so that we can chit-chat for a second. But accent aside, so lovely. And, you know, I realized that it was set in Brisbane and that they must see, you know, landmarks or something that are represented in Bluey that we don't necessarily recognize. I hadn't thought about that.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that either. And I did know what fairy bread was, I think, just from the interwebs over the last few years. Mm-hmm. But sounds great to me. White bread, butter, and nonpareils or hundreds and thousands, whatever you want to call them.
So is she saying that when she's saying the hundreds and thousands, is she saying that it's the sprinkles essentially? So it's not the, you're not putting a nonpareil.
No.
It's the sprinkles.
So here in America, like nonpareils are both the little sprinkles themselves. Okay. And that's what we call the chocolate nonpareils with the nonpareils on them. Yeah. It's kind of like we need two different names for them, but we mm-hmm. don't have them because we're American. We do mm-hmm. things weird. But
sounds delicious.
I mean, I might have to try it. Actually, it kind of reminds me this one time on Paige's birthday, like during, you know, the height of COVID, I once took her to Burlap and Bean, a coffee shop that I love here, and they had unicorn bread. And it was kind of similar. It was white bread, but with marshmallow fluff. And then the hundreds of thousands or nonpareils on top. And it looked delicious. She did not share any with me. Obviously, it was her birthday treat. But reminded me a little bit of that.
So I have these, what I would call them, round sprinkles. I have these round sprinkles in my cabinet downstairs. But I'm going to look and see what it says on them. And I may do that at the break because I want to see what my sprinkle thing says. Because it seems like there's a million different things we used to call this thing.
Okay. And then can you make some fairy bread and report back?
Yeah. But I'm worried that if I make fairy bread once, I'll be making it for the rest of my life.
It does sound like it's
like going to
be a lifelong. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink for Isabel.
I'm not that much of a sweets gal. Did you know that about me?
I don't know if we can continue.
I'm more of a salty. On the topic,
equal opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say if it was a ratio, it would probably be 80-20.
Okay.
Salty to sweet.
All right.
On the topic of bread, we've got some bread issues here, which is that have you ever heard of Raising Cane's?
We talked about this a little bit and now I forget what it is.
Okay. Raising Cane's is a fast food chain. Oh. They're popping up in our area and near us, in quotes, is Newark, Delaware, which is 45 minutes away, and close to the airport, which is 45 minutes away. Isabel has been having a hankering for Raising Cane's. So we have visited it several times. My gas tank can tell stories. What I'm learning, though, is what she really likes at Raising Cane's is this like garlic Texas toast. So I have Googled it and I have actually identified this woman that was like, this is the exact bread that Raising Cane's uses. And this is how you do it. And so I need to add that to my to-do list because I can't keep driving to Raising Cane's.
Yeah. I mean, you want to support your kids' food interests when maybe food choices have been limited for a little while, but an hour and a half round trip is a long time for some drive-through.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have been known to go to the Jersey Shore to get like Manco and Manco pizza.
Oh, I like that pizza.
It's my favorite. I think one reason it's my favorite is because I only get it like once or twice a year.
Do you think it's similar to Grotto Pizza? Do you know Grotto Pizza?
I know Grotto Pizza because I went to school in Delaware and I don't think it holds a candle to Manco and Manco.
Right. But it's the same idea that it's the cheese and then the sauce spiral on top, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's just something about that Jersey Shore pizza and you specifically get it from the Manco and Manco on the boardwalk and the guys in the white polos and there's the green stools and like it's a vibe. It's a vibe. It's a cultural experience. But so I've been known to like, you know, go to Ocean City, New Jersey with like that being my top priority, but not necessarily on a every other day basis like you're going to Raising Cane's.
Yeah. I feel like the main topic of today's episode is just carbs.
Well, yeah, because I have in mind, can I read my note now that like, okay, so last week, as I discussed, I think last week I had volunteered at the Little League snack bar, which like families are kind of encouraged / kind of pressured to work the snack bar for one shift. I did it, smelled like burgers. And at the end of the shift, like they're closing things up and they've got all these soft pretzels left over. And they can't sell them the next day. So they're like, if you want to take them, take them. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to take these. I was like, maybe I'll bring them to my kids' teachers the next day. But then the next morning they were kind of stale. And I was like, I don't want to bring these. But I looked up a recipe for soft pretzel French toast. Let me tell you, it is not too shabby.
Really?
You basically need like 3 to 4. Well, I probably could have done it with like 2 soft pretzels. I decided to double the recipe I found because I had a 9x13 baking dish and I was like, I've got all these pretzels. I might as well use up
baking as many. This. baking.
You bake it. Yes. So you make the egg mixture with the cinnamon and the cream and all that stuff. And then you break up the soft pretzels and then you let them kind of soak in this mixture for like an hour. And then you put them in the baking dish, kind of pat it down and bake it for a little bit. It was not too shabby.
Did the kids eat it?
Some. The kids have not eaten it yet because I ate a little piece. I enjoyed it. But I did this in like the middle of the day because I just wanted to get these pretzels used up. And so I ended up freezing a bunch of it so that like when they have a hankering for French.
Because you're Fran's daughter. You're Fran's daughter.
I'm Fran's daughter and I freeze things. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my legacy. That's hers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so they haven't tried it yet, but it's not going to be bad reheated either. So put a little syrup on that.
Look at you.
Carbs
are us. And look at you. Waste not, want not.
I know. I almost made like a whole second tray of it because I had so many soft pretzels, but I thought I didn't have the freezer space nor the wide waistbands that could accommodate eating this every day because, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another update that's not related to carbs, but that I really need to share because this is something else that I'm sure if my mom listened to the last episode, she was probably yelling, no, not Brooke from One Life to Live. It was Brooke from All My Children that I was sort of named after. So I just needed to correct that.
I mean, there needs to be some data out there about what percentage of children that were born between the years X and X have girls. Well, actually, who knows? Boys too. What percentage have names inspired by soap operas?
Well, I mean, yeah. Just soap operas? You just want to know the soap opera ones?
Yes.
Okay. Because also our
You're going to look this data up.
Oh, I mean, maybe. But I was starting to say that our listener, Nicolette, who we hear from all the time, love hearing from her, she said that she was named after a folk singer. And if she were a boy, they were going to name her Eric after Eric Clapton. So, you know, there's definitely I'm sure there's a large trend of being named after singers and actors, but you specifically want to know like soap opera actors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Or not actors, the character names.
Characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A couple of the reasons why I'm just like have such a spring in my step right now is that I've whipped out the yellow Birkenstocks.
It's time.
I call my birth control shoes because when I wear them,
love that.
When I wear them, there is no chance of me becoming pregnant. I actually, I knocked on the door the other day and I was like, honey, I have a surprise for you. And he was like, oh God. And I just stuck my foot in there and he's like, no.
So there's like a dupe of your yellow Birkenstocks from Target. I bought a pair that are pink. They were $10. Actually, I think they were like $7 during Circle Week.
Amazing.
So they're going to be perfect for the pool this summer. I always need some inexpensive little sandals that can get wet. So
Yeah. So I've whipped those out and I went to the car spa.
I mean, you texted me from there. You were having the best day.
The best day. And what I've decided about the car spa is because I find that I can never get over there. It's a little kind of far away. I'm never in the right spot. So I take Lori's dogs, my friend that I take care of. I take her dogs to be groomed about every, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
And there's kind of like a period where like you drop them off, the groomer's kind of far away. So then you kind of have to kill some time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of close to the car wash. So now I've decided that every time the dogs get groomed, the car is going to get groomed.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Next time, can you give me a heads up? And I want to meet you there. And I want to learn all about the car spa. And my car really needs to go through the car spa because I am actually – so the Phillies game that we're going to tonight, it's me and Graham and our friends Stacy and her son, who is Graham's bestie. And I'm driving and my car is mortifyingly dirty and embarrassing. So, I mean, she won't mind.
No, mine is
but
spotless.
It's pretty bad. Okay.
I will say, though, the car spa drastically increased their prices. Now, lucky for me, I had bought the, you know, the pack, right?
Like the forever stamps of car washes.
Correct. But I only bought five of them. So I do have three left. But like I forget what it's called, whatever, the premium plus, whatever. It used to be $39.99. Brooke, it is $59.99 now.
See, that's steep. Maybe I buy one of your $39.99s off of you?
I don't know if it works that way because it's like a sticker in my car.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, but you know, so I'm going to be relishing those last three at my bargain basement prices, but
okay.
Yeah, but it was, right. I mean, like to the point that I received my car, I was inside of it and I was like admiring it. I must have been sitting in my car for like 5 minutes until the guy behind me honks like, "Can you move?" I was like, "I'm admiring my car. Give me a break."
Wow. Well, I mean, I think because of all of the customers they got from this podcast, they realized that their pricing was just too low.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. It's such a lovely place. Ugh. But now I'm like, Fernando's like, "Can I take your car?" And I'm like, because he'll like, you know, leave a water bottle in there or something. And I'm like, no.
How dare you?
Yeah. You must maintain pristine conditions at all times. Yeah.
All right. Well.
All right.
Maybe my car will soon meet the standards of yours, but.
That was what somebody did on the Get It Done Club the other day. Somebody
cleaned their car.
Yeah, they cleaned their car. They were like in there. They bought like a mini power wash thingy.
Oh.
I know. It sounds so satisfying.
I did recently consider buying a new handheld vacuum, like Dustbuster, because ours broke years ago and we got rid of it. But now that I know that the car spa is $60, and so is that the cost of a Dustbuster or some other handheld vacuum, maybe I can justify the cost of the DIY option.
And I would make sure that you get one that's good for the car, that can get the crevices and the, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Well, with that, shall we take a break?
Let's.
We'll be back. Brooke, I will never forget the moment when I received the email that Marie Kondo was going to start training consultants. I could not sign up fast enough. That was 7 years ago, and it's been an amazing adventure ever since.
Now our listeners can put their passion to work by becoming certified KonMari consultants too. New course dates and offerings are in the works for 2024 and beyond.
The best way to stay in the know is by signing up for the Consultant Program newsletter. Be the first to hear about new course dates, what to expect when you join the program, updates on consultants and instructors, they might even get me as an instructor, Brooke, and more.
Head over to KonMari.is/goodenoughish to sign up and stay connected to all things consulting.
That's KonMari.is/goodenoughish for more details. Get ready to spark joy while living your best life as a KonMari consultant. We're back.
Hello.
So today's episode is about carbs. So we're going to continue.
We're just going to continue with the carb conversation. Favorite carbs? Are there carbs that you don't like? For me, the answer is no.
We're going to kick it off talking about potatoes, every different version of potatoes that there are.
Can you talk about how my kids like French fries, but they won't eat mashed potatoes?
I'm
like,
know. Do you have any idea what you're missing?
I mean, more for me.
Right.
But I'm like, who are you and how?
I know.
How are you part of me?
I know.
I don't know. But yeah, more mashed potatoes for me.
I know.
Someday they'll get it.
One day these kids. Okay, so today's episode is about this concept that I learned from Mel Robbins. And this was a podcast episode that she had. It was episode 152 of the Mel Robbins podcast. And the title of the episode is "The Number One Journal Exercise to Become the Person You've Always Wanted to Be." And so she starts off the podcast by telling a story of her daughter, who I think is like something like 26, walking into the kitchen and being like, "I am so miserable in my life right now. Like, I hate my job. I'm so tired. Like, I'm not motivated to do anything. I don't know what to do." And Mel said to her, like, "You do know what to do. And I'm going to show you how you can figure out what to do." And she had her do this thing where she said, "I want you to think of a time in your life or moments in your life where you felt really, really happy. And I want you to just write that all down. And then I want you to extract clues from that about what was it during that time that was really making you happy? So the daughter was, you know, wrote it all down and came up with things like, oh, when I was in college, because I was eating really healthy because there was like healthy food at the cafeteria. I was getting up every morning because I had an early class and like going to the gym with my friends. I was sitting out on the quad, like soaking in the sun and studying with my friends. And she was like, wow, like none of those things of my happiest time have anything to do with my life now. I'm not doing any of those things. I'm sleeping late. I'm working online for a job that I hate. I'm not seeing my friends. I'm not going outside. And so I thought, oh my gosh, this is such a fun exercise. So I sat down and I started to list out some things. I think she calls it like the happy me exercise or something. And I started listing out some ideas. And then over a couple of period of a couple of days, as it was marinating more, I started thinking about like more and more things, like times and clues that I could pull from it. So yeah, it felt like a little like excavation exercise. And I just shared mine with yours. And I think you took some time to do yours as well, so we can share. Well,
yeah, I mean, the times I was happiest was when I was eating potatoes.
So let's bring it back to carbs.
So it's all carbs, but
let's get focused. Yeah.
Well, so I cheated a little bit because I saw your list and then I was like, oh, yes. Yeah. So it gave me some ideas. But do you want to start? Do you want to tell me a couple of your things and how you've extracted like ways that you can find that same joy now, but as an adult or, you know, with as a person with different responsibilities, because some of the things harken back to your childhood.
Right. Yeah. And I'm even happy to share maybe a slightly edited version of this in the Facebook group for people to kind of pull, because I do think it is helpful. It was helpful for me to hear the example from her daughter and her examples as well. So I started off thinking like one of the happiest times of my life was when I did summer study abroad in Spain, which was when I was about, I don't know, 20, I guess. And I was really close with a group of five of us girls that of this group of 20 of us or whatever, we would travel all over. And we were like, inseparable. I loved living on my own with this host family. I loved the independence. I loved clubbing. We did a ton of clubbing in Spain and it was really fun. I think like it was almost like the introvert in me. The nice thing about clubbing is it's like that whole like dance like no one's watching thing where the music is loud, the lights are loud, and you can just kind of that like it's, you know, you can kind of like really release. I love traveling by train, being with the close girlfriends. I liked feeling like a local. I liked learning about art and history and then seeing it in a museum. Like it was really cool because we would learn about, you know, whatever, Picasso's blue period in the morning. And then we would go to a museum and see that. But if I just went to that museum and saw that painting, I'd be like, okay, it's a woman in a blue dress. But when you understand the context of like, oh my gosh, this is what was happening in Spain and all of that. Yeah, so that was kind of
the importance of story, a story behind anything you're experiencing in the world. Yeah.
Right. And it kind of made me realize like, wow, I really do like art history and it's not something that's like a part of my life at all. Then there's other really random things. Like we used to live on a 200-acre farm in Lincoln, Delaware. And when I was little, I used to have this like forest fort. It was like this fallen tree. And I would play out in that fort for hours. You know, I had little acorn people and I had, you know, like a whole little make-believe world. There was also on that same, you know, property, my grandmother had a farm. Me and my sister, she would pay us like per beetle to get beetles off of her crops.
This is wild.
We would eat
raspberries. We had such different childhoods.
We had very different childhoods. I would eat raspberries off of, you know, just like straight from her garden, shucking corn. Like we had like a bicycle built for two that we would ride around. And okay, so I'll just keep going. Summer camp. I'm just going to keep going. Summer camp at Camp Pocomath, like making clay out of river clay. Craziness, right? I realized cabins. I love cabins. And then I would say like going into my 20s and in DC, like again, tons of going out, dancing with friends, really close friends, doing interesting work. So what are the clues that I pulled out of a lot of these things?
Yeah.
Rustic cabins, house music and dancing. We've talked about booty bounce.
I mean,
that is definitely something I continue to incorporate in my life.
Yes.
Singing along to folky music. AKA Indigo Girls.
I was going to say.
Spain, which is a part of my life still because my best friend lives there and I can go there and spend time there. I put here hanging out in nature, being outside, but not doing anything intense. I want to sit in nature, right? But not necessarily like
outsidesy, not outdoorsy.
Correct.
Right.
Happy Same. Hours, candlelight, spending times on farms, trains, art history, having a little cozy space where I spend time, being in water. So that's like, I don't know, 12 things. I'm like, huh, I can absolutely incorporate these 12 things that are clues from my past life about times that I was really happy.
Yeah. And you have a little bit, I mean, in terms, so it's not a cabin, but like you bought a pop-up camper, mm-hmm. said during the pandemic or slightly before.
Before.
And yeah, but like, so you've worked to slightly incorporate things, but now you're looking at this list and realizing, oh, I could double the amount of things I'm doing that have brought me joy, and you could do it very easily without a ton of work or expense. So that's pretty amazing. I love, you know, thinking back to your childhood and your 20s, because those are such times of your 20s, especially. It's like your first real taste of independence and freedom and like forging your own path in a way that you have a lot less tying you down. You have a lot fewer expenses. But a lot of the things that brought you joy are still doable today. We've just forgotten about them.
Yeah. And just silly things. Like the other day I was kind of rearranging things on a coffee table, and I realized we have all these art books and they just sort of sit on the shelves. And I was like, let me make these coffee table books. But actually, like when I am sitting on my couch instead of scrolling social media, why don't I like open up one of these books and actually read about art history? What a crazy idea.
Huh. What a concept. Huh.
You could open a book and yeah. read it and learn something.
No, I'm the same way. I have this like lovely stack of like books that have pretty covers and I like the spines all lined up, but do I ever open them and read them? Rarely.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about your list. And okay. I do think that, you know, I know you've made this very recently, but I think you'll find over the next couple of days that you're going to get more like, ooh, ooh, ooh. That's another.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, one thing that I immediately thought of was rehearsal. Anytime I did theater, I never did it because I wanted to be an actor or a dancer or, you know, or seriously pursue theater. But I just loved it so much. And yes, I loved putting on the show and, you know, performing in front of an audience always came with a certain amount of gratification, and putting in that all that hard work and then seeing it come together is incredible. But like rehearsal is really where I always felt like myself the mm-hmm, most. Mm-hmm. I was always surrounded by a lot of talented people, had a lot of imposter syndrome. I could not sing as well. I could only carry enough of a tune to like get through auditions just to be in the ensemble of a show. Yep, but that's all I wanted because those were my people. And especially in college, like I had a hard time connecting with a lot of people in my major. I always just kind of felt like a late bloomer. I felt like just never felt like I could be fully myself there. And so rehearsal was just like the place where I wanted to go, even though it ate up all my time and it meant a lot of late nights and fitting in time for actual assignments that I was in school for. It was like, it was just something I loved. And I actually recently had this idea. Someone I know had posted on social media, like how much she misses theater and, you know, and I'm not at a place in my life where I would want to audition for a show or be part of a theater company. Like I don't want to spend that much time at it. But I had this million-dollar idea that someone else is going to have to take and run with and maybe give me a little credit, a little bit of the money, but I just don't have time. I don't have time to start another business. But my idea is creating a piano bar called Rehearsal and be like, oh, sorry, I can't make dinner tonight. I have to go to rehearsal because where your people are. Have you ever been to Marie's Crisis in New York?
No.
It's this amazing basement bar that it's like kind of low ceiling, but there's all these really talented people probably who are in Broadway shows and they come to Marie's Crisis after they perform and they come here and they just belt out all the Broadway shows they love.
That sounds so
they
fun.
Serve like light beer, white wine, and red wine. Like that's amazing. There's no brand names. There's nothing. It is the most wonderful place. And I'm like, we all just need to go there. We just need to go to rehearsal and and get that feeling of like belonging. You know, we've talked about not fitting in, but belonging. And that's like a place where I feel like I belong, even though I'm not the best singer. And I don't know all the words and all the shows. Like, you're just, mm-hmm, you're welcome, mm-hmm, at a place like that. So that's my $1 million idea that in a very rambly way relates to, you know, a happy me.
Yeah. Well, it gets to the, you didn't say the word, but it gets to community.
It does.
Which is one of your values. And I did not do theater in college, but I did theater in high school. And I should add it to this list because, yeah, I have pictures that are so precious of us all dressed up for dress rehearsals, mm-hmm, and we're all just kind of laying on top of each other. And, you know, we were doing like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and we've got these huge dresses on and everything. And it was lovely and fun. And I think it was nice too, because it wasn't like a competitive sport,
right,
where we're all, you know, like, oh, we won, we lost, but it, you know, it was beautiful. Yeah.
You're all there for each other. And I think that's one reason, like, I love this podcast. Granted, it's not scripted and we're just kind of hopping on here once a week and rambling and, you know, but the idea of creating something that is made for other people to enjoy and creating, mm-hmm, it with someone that I feel I belong.
Oh, look at us.
I belong with you.
Look at us. I'm gonna, can I do the Taylor Swift hearts? Will it work? Oh, I did. Yay. Oh,
the hearts popped up on the screen. It's not working for me.
It's not working for you.
That's fine.
Well, I did extra for you.
Thank you. So that's like a really big one for me. Just, and it kind of ties into something else I was thinking, like, I love, like, on a beautiful day like today, opening the windows, opening the sunroof, driving, mm-hmm, music blasting, singing, mm-hmm, my heart, mm-hmm, out. And I've actually thought about, like, maybe my 40s are going to be the time that I officially take voice lessons for fun. To not have any expected outcome. Just to, like, I think I grew up with, you know, two best friends who were like the best singers in my grade. And so I was just always like the non-singer of them and always felt very inadequate. But I'm like, now I just want to maybe learn to do it the right way.
Oh my gosh. So wait, this reminds me of that show that we were watching. Was it Somebody Somewhere? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Remember, she found her community in this. I guess it was just sort of like a singing group.
Yeah.
But they would. Yeah. And she had her voice teacher that she went back to, who was a really special person in her life. That is interesting.
And like Paige is taking piano lessons right now, and she's done like a couple of voice lessons with her teacher, not anything super official, but I was like, I just wish I had learned to actually sing properly. I'm not looking to be the next,
right, because it is all about like where you're singing from and your diaphragm and your breathing, right? It's all like very technical, right?
Yeah. So I was like, maybe that's just one of those things, I don't know, because that's a time when I'm happy, or maybe it's a time when I'm singing by myself that I don't need to sound good. And, you know, so that's just something that I've been thinking about. You know, a lot of the times that I remember being happiest have just been when I've had endless hours free to paint or screen print or create things. And it's been a really good reminder, because I think there have been times in the last 15 years of owning a business that I think every entrepreneur feels like this, like, should I just go back to work for someone else? Would it just be easier? Should I just take home a paycheck like other people do and not let my work consume me? But like, I am my work in such a way that like it fulfills me in a creative way that working for other people never did. So I do feel like I'm fulfilling that happy part of me. You know, knowing that like I'm just a creative person who's going to come up with new ideas and sometimes get messy for no reason at all and create things that aren't going to make me money. But that is a huge part of who I am. And I've like really harnessed that and accepted that like, no, I'm probably never going to have a traditional job again. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But I especially loved screen printing in college. And that's something I had looked maybe like 10 or so years ago to see if there was any kind of studios in this area where I could either kind of relearn what I learned in the past or just have like a studio space that I could use when I wanted to. Kind of let that go. But
yeah, I bet you could. I bet now, I bet there's some really cool like collectives in Philly or even Wilmington that do that kind of stuff.
A singing screen printing studio? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I want to see you. I have a vision of you draped across a piano in a red dress and red lipstick, and Paige is playing the piano.
Of course she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a baby grand, you know? Wow. And you're, yeah.
This is going on the vision board. Don't know about that, but yeah. And I think I also, you know, again, I haven't had a ton of time to think about this, but I realized that the days that I haven't had a whole lot of structure and I've just been able to enjoy like eating and sitting and people watching and enjoying a beautiful day are the times that I truly feel happiest. So making sure I make time for those amidst the busy life. I remember a very specific day when I went to New York City by myself. I think Graham was like 2, so Paige wasn't yet born. I was there for a conference, but I was there a day early, and it was a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. Checked into where I was staying. I walked down to Union Square Park, got myself a slice of pizza, got myself an ice cream cone, and I just sat there and people watched, and I was like, I am living my best life right here, right now.
Yes.
So yeah, I also need to get back to New York. I haven't been to the city since before COVID, so.
Yeah, I was just there for, you know, for the KonMari weekend. And we, even though we didn't go into New York proper, we were just looking over at New York. I was like, man, this really is a special place.
It really is.
Yeah, but I really want to go to this bar that you were mentioning. I love those hole-in-the-wall places that most people don't know about. And when you go into them, it's like you're being transported to a totally different world.
Yeah, it's legendary. It's like you walk in and it's just filled with super talented theater people who are just belting it out for no one but themselves. It's like, it's kind of like you said, like dancing in a club, you're surrounded by people, but you're not worried about anyone watching. It's like that alone together feeling where it's, in a good way, alone together. Like you're surrounded by people, but you can just kind of
like melt into the environment.
Melt into the environment, not have to extrovert so much, just be yourself surrounded by others.
Love it. It makes me want to like cross-reference my This Happy Me list, these clues with my dopamine menu. Because like, for example, like opening up one of those art history books, that's like a little appetizer. That's like a little, it's not a production. I can sit on my couch with a cup of tea for 10 minutes and read an art history book, you know? And so I think I'm going to look at this and see like, what can I put on my little dopamine menu?
Yeah. These ideas absolutely align with that. And so many of the other things we talk about, it's just a matter of like, what's going to be that thing that makes it click for you?
Yeah.
You know, so I love having these conversations because these are little bits and pieces that I maybe haven't touched on that.
Now, where are you going to keep your running list of your happy stuff? Where are you writing it down in your planner? I have mine in this journal that I've been doing called Day One, and I have it pinned so that as I think of more things, I can add it there. Where are you going to keep? Are you going to keep like a little running list?
Perhaps? Probably in my planner. Yeah. I mean, there is a page in the beginning of every Balance Bound planner that is my self-care toolbox, and it has room to fill in. So that could kind of be both small things that I can do to take care of myself, and it can also be some of these bigger Happy Me memories that I can just look back on and remember, oh, I can get in my car anytime I want and blast some music on a nice day and just, you know.
Right. That makes me want to cut and paste my dopamine menu and put it in my self-care tools page on the front. I think I might do that. Did I tell our listeners that I have a coupon code for them for that site, the Centered Life Co? Did I tell everybody?
I don't think you did.
Okay. So I reached out to this woman and gushed with her a little bit about how much I love her content. And, asked if, you know, I told her I'd love to send traffic your way if you want to give me like a tiny little discount code. So she gave me a 20% off. So Indigo20 is the discount code, and you can go to, I think it's the centeredlifecode.com, something like that. Okay. We can, you know, be more clear about it in the show notes. But like if you're interested in the dopamine menu or, you know, other things, you can get 20% off.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, this was fun. Thanks for doing this exercise with me. It was, yeah.
Thanks for bringing it to my attention and, you know, reminding me of those things that I can do just for fun.
And after our break, we'll get back to carbs. Wait, what was I going to do on the break? Yeah. There was something. Oh, I was going to go down and see what the round sprinkles say.
Yes. Please do that and report back. Super important content. Okay. Yes,
I will. Okay. All right. We'll be back.
All right. Bye.
Hey friend, Amanda here. I've got some questions for you. Do you have thousands of emails in your inbox and they just keep coming? Are all of your passwords your dog's name, 1234? Have your photos not seen the light of day since you took them? If this sounds familiar, I'm here to help. You probably know that I've been helping people declutter and organize their physical spaces for years, but there was an elephant in the room that we weren't tackling, their digital life. With tech constantly changing, it feels harder than ever to stay on top of things. Whether you're an elder millennial, a scrappy Gen Xer like me, or an older adult who would rather have a root canal than try to figure out all this tech stuff. Well, you are in luck, my friends, because I've launched a brand new service helping people to organize and declutter their digital lives. Whether it's your overflowing email inbox or your confusing photos or cluttered files, I can help you sort it out. And there is no one-size-fits-all solution. We are going to focus on what you need. Think of me as your semi-bossy, yet fun, tech-loving cheerleader and guide. And I've got a special deal just for listeners. All you have to do is go to indigoorganizing.com/digital and enter code LISTENER at checkout. It's time to say goodbye to that overflowing inbox and confusing apps. I've got you, my friend.
We're back. Amanda, hello.
Hi.
I need the report on what the nonpareils say.
They say nonpareils.
Amanda, I told you.
And it says it in this tiny little cursive.
Yeah.
But I've had nonpareils in my life, my whole life, without knowing. I just called them round sprinkles.
I just feel really proud that I have educated you on something because well, I feel like you're the more educated and smarter of the two of us.
That is so not true.
You're the more educated, for sure.
No, I think I am solidly 20% smarter ever since starting this podcast with you.
Smarter than me or just in general?
No, I am a smarter person having done this podcast with you.
But about what? Nonpareils and pop culture?
Hey, that's knowledge.
It still is.
If I'm going on Jeopardy, which was not a good idea, but if I were to go on Jeopardy, I would be able to answer that question.
Okay. Well, I'm so proud that you now know what nonpareils are. You know that you have them in your possession.
Yeah.
And we've cleared some things up. And now you can make fairy bread. Maybe or maybe not. It could be a dangerous, slippery slope there.
Yeah, we got to make the Raising Cane's Texas toast. We're going to have like multiple bread things happening.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Aside from knowing what nonpareils are, what is sparking joy for you today?
So I want to give a shout out to ThredUp.
Love yourself some ThredUp.
I do. But the reason why I'm excited about it today is because, you know, I had sent off two or three bags to ThredUp and I just send them off, you know, on a wing and a prayer. Like I never expect, it's basically like, let me get all of these clothes to somebody else that's going to do something, whether they recycle them, whether they donate them, whether they sell them for $2. Like I don't
care.
You're
not looking for a windfall of money from this.
I am not looking for a windfall of money. So I got, my packing list for my Yorka today, which I'm really, really excited about. And we have like a WhatsApp group that we're going to start chatting on, which I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they said, you know, bring workout clothes, obs, it's a workout retreat. But I don't really have that great of workout clothes. So I was like, ooh, I think I haven't checked my ThredUp to see like what that has earned. And I went on there and I had like a $90 credit.
Whoa.
That's not bad, Brooke.
That's substantial. What? Like you can get a bunch of stuff.
I did. So I mostly just needed shorts, workout shorts. So I probably ordered a ton more than I need because you can actually return things to ThredUp. So I ordered a whole bunch more than I might need. I got like 6 or 7 pairs of shorts for $0.
Amazing.
So that is what I'm excited about is that like I got rid of a whole bunch of things that I didn't want or need. And now I am replacing them with things that I do want and need. And it all was part of this cyclical, eco-friendly economy.
Love it.
Yes.
Love this. Can't wait to see them. And you don't have them in your possession yet.
No, I have ordered them now. So they are en route.
Okay. I'm excited to see how they work out for you. And if you have to return any, how that process goes, keep us posted.
Yeah. I'm a little bit concerned because I do feel like gym shorts tend to be either tight or very short. And those are not like two of the looks that I'm real going for right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah, that's the kind of thing, like, you find the one that works for you and you buy them in every color, like yeah. I do. And that was another life lesson from Fran. My mom finds something she mm-hmm. likes. She owns 12 varieties of it. So, like, if you find some that you like, then you'll know what to yes. go back to thread up for to look.
Yes. Yeah, because yes. they were, like, all, like, Gap Fit, Old Navy. I think a couple of them were, like, a Target brand. A few of them were Athleta. So, you know, I'll see which ones fit really well, and then I can explore more.
Amazing.
Okay, what are you doing to do your future self a favor?
Amanda, I learned this tip probably a year or so ago, and I can't believe I haven't shared it yet. Oh. Because, by the way, the other day was our 2-year podcast anniversary. We forgot to mention it here. I mentioned it on social media, but it's like if we don't record that day, I forget things. So in the 2 years that we've started this podcast, kudos to us, clapping, background sound, whatever.
Can I do the lasers or balloons or something?
Can we make things pop up on our screen? It's fine. Mm-hmm. There you go, lasers. Everyone, just picture lasers. So I've been holding on to – and balloons. Mm-hmm. I've been holding on to this tip for a while. But so this author named Emily Ferris, I discovered her through Forever 35 years ago. She had like a great Instagram at one point during COVID about like making fancy cocktails. She was just like a fun personality. Mm-hmm. She always has an incredible red lip. Mm. And you know how I aspire to like learn how to wear red lipstick. Mm-hmm, I'm still not there with the color. Mm-hmm. But she shared this great tip on the Forever 35 podcast. And I think I'd seen her mention this elsewhere, that when she wears a bold red lip,
okay,
the thing that really makes it just like fit her whole look is that she gets one of those kind of small eyeshadow brushes that's okay. like a little firmer, but you know, it's small. And she just kind of goes over it right after she's applied it and kind of softens the edge. Oh. And it just kind of makes it look a lot more natural. And I've tried this and there's just something about it that like, I think if you're using like a color stay type of lipstick, it's great because then it kind of gets in the creases and looks more pulled together. And you don't have that like super defined line. Like I don't love makeup that looks like I'm wearing makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want you to be able to see the line where the lipstick ends. So it's very, very subtle. I'm not saying go in and like, you know.
Now, is this the foamy type it's like the spongy type, not the brush?
No, she's talking about like a bristly brush. Oh, bristly brush. Like a small sort of. And I can maybe find something to link to show you what I think she's talking about. Mm. I believe she also maybe showed how to do this on her Instagram a few years ago. I can dig it up and share. But it's like – it's such a great little favor to your future self to hold on to a little extra eyeshadow brush in your makeup bag or anytime you're going for a bold lip and you just want it to look a little bit more – like natural.
I'm gonna try this because you know I do the bold lip, and I don't know if I have one of these little brushes lying around, but I'm gonna look.
Okay. Do your future self a favor.
Loving it.
Hold on to this tip, okay?
I'm gonna hold on to it tightly.
Okay.
This was really fun.
It was. What an adventure.
What an adventure it was. 2 years.
What an adventure it's been. And now we're done. No,
it all started over nachos at Iron Hill.
It really did. Oh my gosh. And totally irrelevant, but I was going through some pictures the other day and I sent you one that was like the picture that kind of brought us together. It was the photo of you and Isabel at the daycare center Halloween parade, which is like where we met when our kids were little. And I had this cute picture of Isabel that I remember thinking like, I'm going to email this to that cool mom, Amanda, and kind of like open up that line of communication. And I did. God. And the rest is history. But I found that picture in when I was going through looking for like baby pictures of Graham, which also made me cry for some fifth grade graduation stuff. And it really – look at us now.
Look at us now.
We have international listeners.
International listeners.
Maybe one.
We have three international listeners.
We have an international listener that is not our best friend. You have one in Spain. I have one in Austria. They count, but they don't really.
I don't know if she listens all that regularly.
Actually, I don't know if Nicole does either. So she hears enough from me
in real life. She's like, I'm not going to listen to you talk for another hour.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, this was super fun. We'll talk to everybody soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Good Enough-ish. We will be back each week with new topics, stories, tips, and personal experiences,
as well as some good old friendly banter and lots of laughter.
Don't forget to find us on Instagram at goodenough.ish.
Email us at goodenoughishpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 484-440-9498 with questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.